This is a show about whether pigeons can tell a Picasso from a Monet. That's a lie, which fits in with what we're doing today. We're talking about deception. Although, that was actually a study that I heard about somewhere, and some quick Googling shows me apparently they could once you trained them. Yeah, 90% accuracy for the birds. Also, funny thing about pigeons, did you know... We should stop, right? We'll save that for some other day, or we'll never get to this one. So here goes. I've got questions. Mike here. Thanks for coming back. Not a lie to say that I am glad you are here, but when it comes to not telling the truth, why do we sometimes just default to that? When do we learn to do it? Can you tell when someone's lying? Shout out to Bill from San Diego. Sent in this question to the email address. And two experts with us today.
My name is Tim Levine. I'm Distinguished Professor and Chair of Communication Studies at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
It's Dr. Kim Sirota. I'm a lecturer in management and marketing at Oakland University
in Rochester, Michigan. And these guys, they know each other. They've worked together. So they are going to ping pong some of this back and forth. The basics first.
My basic idea is defaulting to the truth. So the idea is that generally we're honest unless we have a reason not to be. And we tend to believe other people unless we have a reason not to believe them. If the truth works just fine, pretty much all of us are always going to be honest.
Sometimes the truth doesn't work very well.
Something else would be more efficient, more effective. That can come in different forms. So you got to ask yourself, what do you consider a lie?
Now, it kind of depends on whether you think of lies as those great big horrible things that certain politicians tell, or telling your wife she looks good when she doesn't. A lot of what we call lies are those very little things that are part of our conversation. And that's where it gets muddy, because a lot of people don't even think of that as lying. They just think of that as a normal part of conversation.
So if you ask me how I'm doing and I say fine, even though it's been a tough morning for me, I'm not sure the point of that is deceptive. And I'm not sure when somebody says that they're doing fine that we necessarily read that literally. That might just be a kind of a social convention that we all know that this is the little ritual we play and we don't read too much into it one way or another.
This is probably not super shocking because, you know, we all do this. But here's the key. Think how much we've learned on this show about shortcuts that our brains take because they like to, because it's easier on them. Lying can be either. It can be something really, really bad and you can hurt somebody or you can fool somebody. Or it can be a societal shortcut. It can smooth things out. It can help you avoid something that you really don't want to do. Which is why sometimes you'll catch yourself talking and then there goes one, it slipped right out. You didn't even think to do it. You just lied. It was a white lie. You fibbed. Slight exaggeration. Exaggerations can also happen on another level when you're trying to fit maybe your own self-image.
One of the findings is people tend to lie less as they get older. So I think as we tend to get more comfortable in our own skin and know who we are, we have less of that.
You got to be careful, too. A lot of researchers have looked at self-deception. You tell a story enough that is exaggerated or that shifts a little bit with each retelling. Eventually, you can end up fooling yourself and really think it happened that way.
That's dangerous territory.
The big lies. What about those? This is when you go from easing to straight out gaining.
People who tell very bold-faced lies, sometimes what we call high-stakes lies, those are the people who, you know, have a highly motivated reason to lie. You know, they're using lies as a tool.
And you can get bolder the higher the stakes, because at that point, you can lose. House of cards, right? Pathological liars. That's tricky. A lot of people have tried to figure that out because they can do it without any established end game. They're just lying. It's very strange. When do we start doing this?
Well, I think kids start saying things that are false before they really understand how to fool people.
There's a period where they do think someone's always watching. You know, mom has godlike powers. But then they realize, ooh, she's not a mind reader. And that's the start.
Because to fool somebody, you have to be able to understand what somebody else knows. But it's not till somewhere between the ages of 3 or 5 that they really start to understand the core idea that I can say something to get you to believe something that's not true.
Funny enough, it's another one of those very human things. All the same processing that lets us communicate lets us do this. We mentioned pathological liars. Let's split off into prolific, those who lie a lot. Does it mean that they're better at it? And to further that, does it mean they're always predatory?
To the last part, no. In my view, the same things that would make us good at deception also make us good at honest communication. So the same things that will make me, you know, a good teacher or you a good radio personality.
That was very nice of him.
Will also make you believable if you decide to not be honest. It is being a confident, friendly extrovert. People will believe you, and they'll believe you when you're honest, and they'll believe you if you're not.
Do most of us think we are better at this than we actually are?
We think we're a lot better at telling when other people lie than we are. We think we're much better detectors. But most people tend to believe most things most of the time. So most lies go undetected, at least initially. So I tend to think people probably underestimate the likelihood that they'll be caught in a lie. And they overestimate their ability to catch a lie.
The problem is, when they are actually lying, we get it wrong a lot more times than we get it right.
So we're just really bad at telling. I mean, at the end of the day, you hear all those things like there's tells, there's body language.
First of all, the idea that there are specific cues that you can catch a liar with, research says that's not the case. You know, behaviors do become tells, but they're more likely to be idiosyncratic. And by that, I mean, they're specific to an individual. One of the common ones that gets pointed out, well, you know, if somebody averts their gaze, they must be lying. Well, if you understand that, then, you know, and you're going to tell a lie, look somebody in the eye.
It's a hard thing to catch in the moment.
So I try to turn off my impressions of the person and listen very carefully to what they say. And I ask myself, do they have a reason to lie? Does what they say make sense?
And see if there's a way to fact check it. Because past that, most of us are not very good at this. But the good liars, they've got most of us figured out.
People who are good liars, that is, people who are effective at telling lies, they control their behavior. They make themselves appear honest. You just change your demeanor. You just change your presentation a little bit, violate their expectations, and they don't draw that conclusion that you're lying.
This was a story about testing Loch Ness to see if there was strange monster DNA in the water. That, of course, is a lie. But another thing they actually did, so at least I'm close to the truth, which is where I think most of us should strive to be. Maybe that's the moral of this story. Would you like a pigeon or Loch Ness monster show? Send me some questions. I've got questions at audacy.com, A-U-D-A-C-Y. This comes from KNX News 97.1 FM in Los Angeles. I'll be back next week.